Blog Talk Radio.
Accepted to a program at the high school
at Palmetto High School that is also affiliated with Cambridge College. So he finished his four-year matriculation at Palmetto, he will have an associate's degree from Cambridge College. So, Ty,
wow. Congratulations, Ty.
Thank you. I've been, like, really working hard to do it, especially because, you know, I was going to get me an associate's degree right out, and I could finish and, like, go on to work after 2 years of college.
Good deal. So we're
not
proud
only are you an athlete, not only are you
a
brainiac.
He is a – that tree – apple certainly didn't fall from that tree. That's far from that tree, that's for sure. Our special guest tonight is going to be Edna Cherry, who's fighting another friend of ours, a friend of Ty's and Zito's, Omar Douglas, on St. Paddy's Day up in Reading, PA. And I did get word today, guys, you will be attending if you've got the time. So,
outstanding. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. So Dr. Chris will be coming on with us at 6:15. I'm sure he'll have a weather report for us. I found out last week he fell asleep. He went for a walk and fell asleep on his phone, so he didn't hear it ringing.
You know, the main event of that Edna Cherry, Omar Douglas fight is Amir Mansour, Travis Kaufman, too. So Travis from Reading, PA, I believe he is, too. So.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up. That'd be a good fight for both you guys to save. And, you know, we got friends in all three corners there.
Yeah.
So, Ty, tonight we got Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington. Wilder's still at 37-0, and Washington's 18-0. With 0-1, he did have a fight with Amir Mansour, and he did fight with Eddie Chambers. So, what's your thoughts on this fight?
I mean, you got to favor Deontay Wilder going in. Gerald Washington, who matches Deontay in size somewhat, he's has more musculature. He outweighs him by about 17 pounds, is about an inch shorter than Deontay. Comes from a tremendously athletic background, played some college football, bounced around on different pro squads in the NFL, on the practice squads at least. But he came to the sport late, even later than Deontay. Deontay came to the sport at 20. Washington came to the sport closer to 30. So I think that difference in Deontay's, even though Washington to a certain extent may be more, fundamental, it may have better fundamentals than Deontay Wilder at this point. Deontay is a more skilled and fluid boxer, just based on knowing how to use the skill sets that he has. So you got to lean towards Deontay. I think Washington, had he started young, could have been a really good heavyweight. But he came to the sport a little late to really have the kind of impact that one might expect from a man of his size and his stature. With that being said, these are both big guys, and all it takes is one punch.
Sure. Z?
I totally agree with Ty. They're both big guys. Deontay's not used to fighting guys that match him in size.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is Washington is athletic, but he's not as athletic as Wilder conduces to boxing. Wilder, he's kind of a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, he does have, I'm gonna say, better basics, fundamentals, but mm-hmm. within applying them, he's against a guy like Wilder, he's gonna have trouble. He's gonna have trouble just navigating, distance to a point. And by the time he does, Wilder would have done it first.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Wilder's a step ahead of Washington, and that's just how it's going to look.
I think that's a very good way to say it, that he's a step ahead of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other thing, too, is both of these guys kind of have a very similar flaw in that they both tend to pull back with their straight back with their chin in the air. The thing is, though, Deontay is he's a lot quicker. to the draw, and he steps in with significantly more power when he throws it. So, again, just like Zito said, what it comes down to is one guy may be a little better fundamentally, but the other guy's more skilled, meaning knowing how to apply what he knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deontay, that certainly does. He's got double the number of fights. He's got no draws, no losses. He does have a punching power, but I this is one I guess Chris has been waiting for a while, because he has always liked Wilder for some reason or other. But I will ask him when he gets on. But do you think he has? Does he have the punching power to push Washington down? I mean, was it 27-39?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Wilder has the power to put anyone down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wilder, and you know, the funny thing is I think Wilder, like Zito says, is a physical specimen. You know, he's a big guy who can leverage his power fast. And, you know, for all of Wilder's flaws, as far as being, you know, a technical, fundamental boxer, one thing I will say is I don't know if I've seen many fighters since I've been watching the sport, you know, in the 40-some years, right? I don't think I've seen many fighters who can leverage their right hand so quickly and even in a short space and be able to leverage it and get that power on it so quickly. And that one particular arena reminds me of Tommy Hearns, the way he can really turn that right hand over and get it home. Deontay Wilder, I will say this. I don't know if he's the most devastating puncher in a heavyweight division, but he has the most devastating punch in the heavyweight division. When he lets it go, I think nobody hits you harder.
The interesting thing is going to be how he's healing now, how that right is particularly healed. It was damaged in quite a few places. So,
yeah, he broke his hand, and he also, I believe, tore his bicep. So he's coming back from some significant injuries in his dominant hand. The one thing is funny, because as we were watching the Chris Areola fight, one thing Zito said is, in fact, Zito said, I love the way he's using his hand. I kept saying, I love the way he's hooking off his jab. Zito was saying how much he loved the way he's using his left hand. And part of the reason why, obviously, was because he hurt his right hand. Same thing happened to Larry Holmes in his prime. And Larry Holmes went on to become one of the greatest jabbers in heavyweight history. So maybe this can add dimensions to Deontay's game, because for the most part, I think even though Deontay, you know, he still looks raw out there, he basically at 31 is a finished product. He is what he's going to be. You're not going to see a significant improvement in his overall skill set. However, if he's forced to only rely on one weapon like he was and forced to have to develop that weapon while the other weapon is recovering, it definitely would make him a more dangerous fighter.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you another thing. Last night, Lucien Bute was back in the ring up in Quebec and didn't do too well. Let's start with you. What do you think happened there?
Well, Bute's getting older. I think that's one thing. And he also moved up in weight. He's fighting at 175. He's fighting a quality guy in Alvarez. Alvarez, he's noted for his jab, but really early in the fight, it was hard for him to get his jab off against the southpaw Bute. He started kind of getting inside on Bute, getting some good uppercuts off. With that said, Bute was sort of winning the fight. He was just winning the fight off of work rate and just foot positioning. Well, in one of those instances with the foot positioning, Bute was kind of dancing around, kind of trying to steer Alvarez, and he moved into still going to the right, and Alvarez caught him with a nice straight right. Buckled Bute. Made him lose his senses, buckled him, and Alvarez immediately followed up with another straight right that dropped Bute. Bute got up around maybe 8.5 or the count of 8.5 and started grabbing the ropes. That weren't there. So, the ref immediately stopped it after saying that, which was a very, very good decision. And it was just Bute got caught. He's getting older. He got a little too comfortable. in a fight that he you know, it looked like he was winning, you know, pretty handily. And, you know, that happens.
That's good.
And you know what? The funny thing is everything that happened, including Lucien Bute's fight plan, is all a product of him getting older. He never was that aggressive in his prime. He was a guy who tended to stay on the outside and sniper you with really hard punches. And he stepped in on his terms, and usually it was a step in to counter you to deliver shots to the body or step in and deliver a counter shot. And he was, you know, more known to slip punches with his head and his footwork as he saw the punches coming. So what he's done is, as he's aged and he's slowed down and his reflexes have dulled, he's become, you know, it's a little harder for, you know, as a sniper, it's a little harder to pull the trigger into the opening. So what he's done is become more aggressive and a more busy fighter, still using his feet to create the angles he was doing from the outside. But what he gives up by being more aggressive and being closer to his opponent and using his feet to create the angles from the outside is he doesn't see all the punches coming now. And so what happened was he got caught. He was doing great work. He to me, was starting to control the fight a little bit. And he was turning Alvarez. And as he stepped around, Alvarez threw a right hook that was blind to him. And part of that is if Lucien saw the punch, he may have been able to slip it. But, again, he's fighting in a way that there are going to be punches he doesn't see. And again, changing, not necessarily changing your style, but adapting means adapting in every way. And his hands weren't in position to block the punch, like Lomachenko's would be. So he caught it flush. And I think all of it was a product of aging. Sometimes we look at it and say, oh, the guy's getting old because we see reflexes dull. But one thing that Bernard Hopkins showed is that longevity can be attained if you can adapt your style to kind of, you know, acclimate for your physical decline. And that's what Lucien Bute was doing. But even in that, there's inherent risk.
Good. Hey, guys, we're joined by Chris. Chris, you got something? We're talking about Bute and Alvarez fight last night.
Matisse?
No, Bute.
Oh, I didn't see it, to be honest with you. I didn't see it.
He got knocked out in the fifth round.
Go ahead. Who did?
Bute.
Bute?
Yeah.
Well, he's about had it.
Yeah, he's 36 years old.
Yeah, he was left-handed. I mean, the left-handed guy. He really had a nice body shot. And like you say, he was in his prime. He could deliver it. He could hit. He had found the openings, but he was getting hit easier. And I could see the decline. Was it Badu Jack or what's his name?
Badu Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he fight him and lose?
Yeah.
Yeah. I started seeing.
They gave him the decision that it was a draw, one of the two.
Yeah. And you know what else I saw? Over 12 rounds, he never looked good. 10 rounds. He just had a lot of bad rounds where he just didn't look good. He looked good for two or three rounds and fade out. He never had a steady where he looked good. He would look good or bad. And I started seeing a change in him. And, you know, which happens to all of them, and it's just a matter of time. So he got conked out, huh? Well, I never saw him get knocked out except he fought a real powerful Mexican fight. And he got the living hell beat out of him. He was out on his feet at the end. Somehow he
Librado
got the decision.
Andrade. Librado Andrade. Yeah, Librado Andrade. The guy who didn't block punches with his fists because his hands were bad. He had blocked them with his face.
Yeah. The guy could hit, though.
Oh, yeah.
He was a rough guy.
Toughest man.
He could hit. Rough guy. And he gave him a hell of a beating. I forget what happened and saved the fight. I know it wasn't a fair decision in my book. I don't know. But that guy's got to go back probably 6 years ago. At least, probably.
Ty, we had talked earlier about Amir Mansour and his fight coming up. Let's just revisit that for just a second, Jose. I know that's good. You know, we're going to be talking to Edner, who's on that card. What's your thoughts on that fight?
Who's Mansour fighting?
Travis Kaufman.
Don't know a hell of a lot about him. What do you guys think of him? I don't remember. You guys ever see him fight?
Travis, I saw Travis fight maybe twice. There's a few highlights. Travis, he's a big guy. He's okay. To me, it depends what Amir has left.
Yeah.
To be honest. Amir, style-wise, Amir, he comes in and he gives it his all. He throws his all in almost every punch. You just don't want him connecting with that. Travis, I can see Travis kind of managing the fight a bit. But this all depends on what Amir has left.
I like to watch him fight, though. I like to watch Amir fight. He goes him.
Yes.
He's not a tall guy, you know.
No.
And he goes in there. He throws punches. He's trying to knock your head off.
You know, it's a very dangerous fight. Travis Kaufman is not a really big heavyweight. And what Travis likes to do is he likes to counter. He doesn't mind laying up against the ropes and trying to set traps for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like Zito said, Travis could, you know, using that style, Travis could control the fight. Travis is the kind of guy where, you know what, he can control a fight that way, but he doesn't really separate himself, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean, against certain levels of competition. So even though, you know, we could watch the fight and be like, you know, Travis is winning, you could kind of always almost make a case for the other guy, too, because Travis just doesn't really get that separation needed to you know, consistently get those. Like, I thought he beat Chris Areola, but, again, he never established that separation. So it allows me to believe that he's on a certain level. Amir should be able to beat guys like this, you know, considering where he's trying to go. But this is it's a dangerous fight for Travis Kaufman, and it's the kind of fight where if Amir doesn't get him out of there, he could look pretty bad. So it's a very interesting fight.
Yeah,
looks bad because Travis Kaufman is the kind of guy who can make you look bad.
One thing is Travis, he's not a gas pedal guy. He's not gonna he'll lay back. He's not gonna pedal to the wall. What the danger with that? As far as Amir goes, is Amir, he is a pedal to the wall guy.
Yeah.
When fights like that happen, you're either going to have somebody's going to get dragged into something. Somebody's
yep.
going to sell up, or somebody's either going to get the swinging. So
yeah, if somebody doesn't get Travis Kaufman out of there, then all of a sudden that pedal to the wall starts to run out of gas. And Travis is pretty steady. 10 rounds through. So it's a very interesting fight.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Amir's got one style. He's coming after you. He wants to knock your head off. And he's just going to do it. I don't care who the hell he fights, what style it is, he's going to fight the same way every time. He's going to come out there to win and knock the guy out. That's his nature. It's going to be interesting. I don't care if the guy's a counterpuncher or what he is. He's going to have to fight the other guy's fight. He's not going to be able to control the fight. Until the other guy either runs out of gas or gets banged himself, you know? Amir.
Yeah, Amir.
Be interesting. I like guys with his style.
Amir has fought the better quality of competition, you know, to this point. The best fighter that Kaufman has fought is you know, Fabian Areola. You know, Amir has fought better fighters for the most part. So, you know, I think I would lean towards Amir for sentimental reasons, it's a very interesting fight.
I would lean towards the guy. It's more exciting, more just, you know, I like him. I like the guy. He's there.
You know what, he's more dynamic than Travis, but the one thing is I've never seen Amir not do enough to win. You got to beat him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I thought a lot of people thought that the draw against Gerald Washington fight tonight, a lot of people thought Amir won that fight. But my point is, though, he doesn't give you anything. You got to beat him. Travis Kaufman, you can kind of outwork him. You know what I mean? That's where it gets a little dangerous for him. He could kind of give you some rounds and some room to breathe. Amir doesn't do that. You know what I mean? Not at all. You got to beat him to take it from him. So.
How tall is Amir?
You know what? The funny thing is he's listed at 5'11". I stood next to him. I'm 6'2 and a half, and we were looking each other eye to eye. So he's every bit of 6'2".
You think he's that big?
I met him. I mean, we were face to face, and I'm 6'2 and a half.
Did he have six heels on his shoes?
I think he had sneakers on. We were like roughly the same.
Did he have lifts on? I wear lifts. I wear lifts. You think I'm 6 foot? I take my lifts off. I'm five foot seven.
It must be 5 foot.
Maybe I thought he was that tall because his damn shoulders were so wide.
He looks shorter every time he comes to the ring.
Shoulders, yeah, man.
He looks like Mike Tyson's height. I figure he's as tall as Mike Tyson.
He has that style where he hunches over now. So when you see him in the ring a lot, he squats, he bends his knees a bit, he hunches over. So his height kind of looks deceptive when you.
I mean, Frank. Yeah, when I first met him, the first thing I said to him, we hadn't met obviously, but when I first talked to him, I said, "Hey, they say you're 5'11", but obviously you're not." He goes, "Isn't that some bullshit?" Because I'm again 6'2", and we're looking each other eye to eye. So
I had the impression he was 5'11" myself. I don't know what the hell. Maybe think
Frank.
That.
Hey guys, we're joined by a good friend and one of the nicest fighters with the interviews we've ever had, Edner Cherry. Edner, how are you tonight?
Cherry Bob. Hey, how y'all doing?
How's it going?
Great.
Oh, pretty good.
We were just talking about you, and we were talking about Amir Mansoor, and then you're on the undercard.
How about telling us about your.
We do know Omar very well too, or at least Ty does.
I don't know Omar.
About,
you're
37-2 and 7-2, and he's 17-1-0.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I don't actually know Omar. I know his dad very well,
and his
dad is actually his manager. And the funny thing is before Omar Douglas fought for two, and I asked his father, would he ever consider fighting you? And here we are a few months later, and it is actually happening. So it's pretty interesting.
There we go. Sedner, how's your training camp coming?
Oh, training camp is going great. You know, just staying focused and staying, just getting ready for it, man. You know what I'm saying? Putting the hard work in and, you know, just getting prepared for this big fight coming up. And, Omar Douglas is not a pushover, you know, so we are getting prepared for that also.
Right. Now, a lot of people don't understand that you drive almost 100 miles each way to train to the gym.
That's
a real commitment. But you're a very committed person to the fight game, to your family, and to your beliefs. And that's one of the things that I've always admired about you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got to get a little helicopter or something. When you get some big money, buy a helicopter, will you? 100 miles each way? How long does it take you?
Yes, sir. Man, just like what Bob said, it's a commitment, man. Dedication. And, it's something that I want. And, I've been traveling for my whole career, I've been traveling. Tampa, St. Pete, it's a traveling for me, so.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to see Omar fight?
I've seen him fought once when he fought Antuna. He didn't fought a softball. So, softball, and I said, I don't need to look at that fight, you know what I'm saying? But he's a tough fighter. You know what I'm saying? He's a tough competitor. And, that night he is coming to fight. So, I'd say like a couple of his fights. So he's a pretty good fighter, man. He is coming to fight. That's all I know, man. So it will be a great show.
Mm-hmm. So, Edgar,
11 out of the last 12 fights that you've had have ended with knockouts. Are you going to change your style and going in after Omar?
Nah, I'll be the same thing, man. It's really nothing to change, but just tweak little things here and there, and just come in great shape, and that's about it. So it's not a whole lot to change. So it just getting in great shape and tweaking little things here and there and, you know, just fixing this here and there. But it's not a whole lot to fix. It's just coming, getting good shape and make sure everything is, you know, little tweaking stuff, you know, fixing here and there. And, you know, then, you know, fight nighttime, then we will take one round. We will take one round at a time. So we will see what he bring in the first round, then we will take it from there each round. So, you know, each round will be different, hopefully, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, he's coming to bang. He's coming to fight. So, hey, same way, hey, Ebner coming to bang too. So that's why it will be a great fight.
Yeah, will Dan be in your corner with you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's got one of the finest minds, and it shows in the way that he's changed your fight from your fight game from going right in trying to kill somebody to being a more intelligent fighter, and definitely doing a lot, looking a lot sharper than you did when we first met. The other question, I guess, is he's got a pretty big month coming up with you and Keith both fighting in the same month, huh?
Yes, sir. And you know, he have his hands full, man. You know, especially with Keith, getting Keith ready, and you know he have a handful. So you know, he say right now he's busy right now. You know what I'm saying? This month he will be busy. So hopefully after the fight he will have some time off and relax and, you know, enjoy himself.
Mm-hmm. Ty?
Yeah, and what I was going to ask you is obviously Omar Douglas is a guy who, like you said, he comes to fight. He brings a lot of pressure and, you know, tries to get his guy out of there. So this is not a guy like Pedraza who you got to chase around the ring. What is the mindset going in to fight a guy who comes forward throwing big punches as opposed to one who you have to kind of chase down? How do you prepare mentally differently for that type of style?
You know what? This is not my first time being in this type of fight, so it's nothing new for me. So it's this is what y'all have to look at. Look at the people that are Omar fight. And that will tell y'all. That's why he come and bring the pressure and you know what I'm saying, try to take his guys out. Look who he fought. You know what I'm saying? Right. So then that night, March 17th will really tell him, oh man, I'm in a fight. So that will kind of tell him, oh man, I don't want to bang with Edna. So you know, I've seen the people. You know what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying? When I look at his record, oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, he haven't fought really. He haven't really fought nobody besides when he fought
Fortuna.
So that was his kind of big. You know what I'm saying? His big fight. You know, so he hopefully.
Yeah.
Fortuna. You know, he was running all. You know what I'm saying? Running a whole lot. So that's why I'm not really. You know, but I'm just putting the hard work in, and you know that's you know. You know, style. You know, styles make fights.
Right. Would you prefer to fight a guy that comes to fight like Omar than a guy who you got to
fight?
Oh yeah,
definitely. That's what will really make the boxing really, really excited that night.
Man.
And it will be a great fight. And you know, especially these guys that run and run is like, oh shoot. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're making it sloppy and this and that. They don't want to fight. Then you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you find a guy that really want to fight, then, you know what I'm saying? Then, like, the crowd will really love that, you know what I'm saying? Then you know, they say, man, you know what? I got my money worth.
Zeke, do you have any questions?
I just wanted to comment. I totally agree. You guys, you and Omar are kind of two come-forward fighters who don't play around in the ring. You guys go in there and you go to get at your opponent. I think what it's going to come down to in this fight is just who's cleaner. Just who's cleaner. And this is any boxing match. You guys are two of the stronger guys at your weight also. So that's what's going to make this pretty good fight.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I, you know, the July, what I said, I think I'm the stronger guy, the bigger guy. So, you know, I had, you know what I'm saying, I've been in a better fight, and, you know, they just were grooming him, you know, giving him a fight. So they finally give him Fintuna, like, hey, let's beat Fintuna, then we'll be in the mix. So that didn't work. So now they want to try to get back in the mix, and, you know, hopefully March 17, then he will end up getting knocked out. So, you know, if that knocked out come in, I will definitely take it.
You know what I think?
What happened?
You know what I think today?
Yeah.
The guys come in the ring 17-0. Their records are padded. You know, first fight's against a guy collecting tickets. The other guy's a guy parking valet cars. You know? And they don't really know. You don't really know what you got till the 17th or 18th fight, because that's when he starts fighting the competition. When you got to move up, and then you start fighting guys with competition with experience.
Yeah.
Then you know what you got. I mean, 17-0 today, it's almost hard to determine what type of fighter he is or what he's going to be.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the big Charlo. I said I want to see if this guy is as tough as he looks, and if he can hit as hard as he, you know.
Yeah.
And he looked as good as he did against the lesser opponents.
Yeah,
so,
and even the fight that I seen with Fintuna run, then didn't have no power behind his punches, but Fintuna slapped him around, and that, both guys went down, and you know, then Fintuna didn't really sit down on his punches. So just imagine somebody sit down on their punches and banging, I think he'd be out.
Right.
And so that's why March 17th, and you know, which I'll be the strongest, guy that I've been. I fought big guys. I fought bigger puncher, and I start off from the bottom, man. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have nobody to, groom me and give me easy fights. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoever, come on, let's fight. So we banging, get catch, hey, you done, man. You know what I'm saying? Just like my last fight when I fought Liddell Rogue, a lot of running, hole, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because just he just tried to survive, man. He's like, hey, man, I don't want to get knocked out, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, then that night he would say, I don't want to get knocked out too. So it might be a change-up
that night.
Like, Omar is a fighter that comes forward. Then it would be Omar would be a fighter that fighting backwards, going back. He don't want to fight. Watch.
That's interesting. You know what? By the way, when's Triple G fight again? Is it coming up soon?
I don't even know.
I know it's coming up soon.
Jacobs next month, I think that is.
Yeah, I think it's around
March?
The
March or April.
March or April, yeah. Edna, obviously this fight, part of the reason why the Omar Douglas camp took this fight, I'm sure, you know, I haven't spoken to his dad about this fight as of yet, but part of the reason why they took the fight is because obviously win over you puts them right back in the mix, coming off a loss to Fortuna. Also, they probably also feel that because he was competitive with Fortuna, that he's able to compete at this level to a certain extent.
Uh-huh.
So obviously a win over you takes him, puts him back in the mix. What does a win over him do for you? He's obviously not quite as proven as you, but he's now starting to be looked at as a fringe kind of guy, fringe kind of contender.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself going after a victory over Omar Douglas? Who are you looking for next?
Man, you know what? You know, like these world titles, you know what I'm saying, these guys who are in the titles of this and that, and it doesn't matter, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fighter, and, you know, that's what I do, and I don't avoid anybody, you know what I'm saying, even my manager, you know, even though after this win, man, you know what I'm saying, whatever my manager have in the books, whoever, you know what I'm saying, I'm just ready, man. It's for Omar, you know what I'm saying, they just looking at, man, we hope, you know what I'm saying, behind their mind, like, man, We hope we beat this dude, man. You know what I'm saying? We know we're in a tough fight. And you know, and so, you know, that's it, man. But everyone that comes in there, man, it's not a pushover. It's not like coming in there like, oh, man, we defend. Slap Edna silly, this and that, and try to get a win, this and that. But it's like when you win, like, oh man, I was in a fight. So, but you know, after this win, man, I'm looking for bigger things. And you know, even like when I fought Rosado, you know what I'm saying, it didn't win my way. But I'm still going, man. You know what I'm saying, I'm still believing, I'm still training, I'm still fighting. So you know what I'm saying, I didn't let that one. Loss that they took from me, you know, messed me up. So,
Ezra, what do you think of Tank Johnson, who beat Pedraza? What do you think of him?
Man, you know what? He's a great fighter, man. He's a great fighter, Steve. You know what I'm saying? But you know, he's very young, and you know, even though that fight, I think Pedraza fought the wrong fight. I thought was going to box him and use his reach.
Me too.
Then, at the same time, you know, David's like, well, this dude can't hit hard, so he's like, I don't have no respect for this dude. And then, you know, he can't break the air. He wasn't hurting Davis at all, so that was an advantage in that fight. So, and you know, then when I was looking at that fight, I said, why didn't he fight me that way? Just standing there banging just. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he fought Javante Davis like, what? Dude, use that reach, boxing. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, the time that he was boxing, you know, he was doing kind of all right. But at that time, Davis was just punishing him. But, you know.
I noticed whenever he threw the jab, it bothered Davis, though. And then he would go away from it, crouch down at Davis's height. And wanted to get to the body. I just didn't understand that. Oh yeah, definitely, bro. You know, that's some other fighters, you know what I'm saying, that's another fight that's out there also too.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, even like the public talk probably go around like, hey, we think Edna beat Jose Pizarro, so I guess one day we will meet up. And this and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what boxing is about, man, just fighting the best. And now these days, it's like they want to know how many fights you have, how many knockouts you got. Oh, nah, I don't want to fight them. I'll go this route. So, you know what I'm saying? So boxing is, like, kind of getting crazy now, man. Just because you have a good record, they don't want to fight. You hit hard, they don't want to fight you. So they want to fight a lesser person where they could build their record up and try to – you know, I don't know. Then when they do put them in a tough fight, and they just crumble.
Well, what's good, Edna, is that with you being under the PBC banner, and Tank also being under the PBC banner, that fight, from a promotional standpoint, obviously is really easy to make. And then, you know, judging by, you know, the first quarter of the schedule, you know, it really looks like PBC is starting to, you know, to match you guys. The fact that you and Omar are fighting, as opposed to taking on two lesser challenges, the fact that you guys are fighting, you know, here and now in this first part of the year, shows that Heyman is really starting to match the guys and maximize the talent. So I would really speculate that with you coming off of a very controversial, debatable loss to Pedraza, then coming off of a win, I would speculate that if you win, you probably would be in a really good position to challenge a shot, if not a very lucrative, another lucrative slot.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking at. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking for. And, you know, try to get back in the mix. Hopefully this year, at the end of the year, get back in the mix. And whoever it is, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't care who it is, but if they give me enough of time, say, Edna, give me enough of time, hey, being camp, hey, you know what I'm saying? This is boxing about, because both of us are human beings, man. We're not a robot. You know what I'm saying? The best win. You know what I'm saying? Whoever wants it more. And, you know, that's what to get the fight. So, and, you know, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't go in there to lay down or, you know what I'm saying, just for the payday, just because, hey, Edna, we want to pay this to fight. This is my career. This is how I take care of my family. This and that. And this is a job for me. You know what I'm saying?
And I got one more question for you. You're a title contender, world ranked guy at 130. You know, obviously you're one of the best in the division. You know, clearly a top 10 guy in the division. With that being said, let me ask you a two-part question. Number one, will you think of the number one guy in your vision, Lomachenko, Vasily Lomachenko? And number two, if given that shot, how do you go about fighting that guy?
Man, you know what? Just like if they if they say, hey, Eddie, you want to fight him? I say, yeah. Because fighting him, man, is like I cannot go in there and try to box him and this and that. I have to go in there, rough him up, kick him, slam him, this and that, elbow. You know what I'm saying? That's how you fight this dude. You go in there and rough him up. You go in there and rough him up. You know what I'm saying? You make it a fight. I mean, you don't go in there like try to jab him, try to outbox him, try to match his speed. You go in there. Then you know what I'm saying, like the first thing, you have to come in great shape because you have to go in there and be busy. Just rough him up, punch him, rough, you know what I'm saying? Make it a fight where he'll be complaining to the referee because when you want to rest, then you know what I'm saying, you'll be fighting. You know what I'm saying, that's like for guys you don't box, you don't try to match their jab or speed. You go in there like, you know what, this is a fight, and you know, so boxes out the window, go in there and slug it out. But you know what I'm saying? At the same time, be smart about it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's how he lost his first fight. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go in there and rough him up because guys want to go in there like try to look cute with him and this and that. And nah, man, just put the boxing out, you know what I'm saying, on the side. Let's fight. Let's fight and let's make it a nasty fight. That's how you beat up these type of fighters. You know what I'm saying? Like Floyd Mayweather. You don't go in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like Madonna. I thought Madonna fought the right fight, but you know what I'm saying? He kind of like slowed down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, like, that's how, you know what I'm saying? You won't be for you. Go in there, rough him up and make him complain, this and that. You don't go in there and try to look pretty with that. You know what I'm saying? Because he'll make you look stupid and beat you every time on points.
Yep, I completely agree with you.
That's you're right there, because that guy is so stable and so coordinated, so good.
You'd have to take
him out of his game plan. You'd have to,
yes,
right. You know, years ago we used to do that. You could get away with a rapid punch and punch into the kidneys and irritate the guy, and he'd get out of his game plan. But that guy's really an accomplished boxer. Man, I don't know. I wouldn't be too happy fighting him. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, the last guy he fought looked so bad he quit.
Yeah. I mean, with that type of guy, I mean, I'm not taking nothing away. He's great. He's speed. I mean, he's just all. I mean, he's one of the kind. It's like if you fight him, you make sure the payday is right. Yeah, because definitely the payday is good. It's like it ain't like just going there just
it would be no disgrace to go the full distance with that kid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It would be no disgrace.
Yeah,
he went 10 rounds or whatever. He's a good fighter.
You know what? It's funny because when I watched the Salido fight, and you know when people look back on you know Lomachenko's first loss to Salido, the first thing they always say is the weight. How Salido came in overweight. And how Salido, you know, gave him roughhouse tactics all throughout the fight. And those two things did trouble Lomachenko. But what I also seen trouble Lomachenko that maybe a lot of people weren't paying attention to because they were so caught up in the roughhouse tactics was when Salido did things that were unconventional to boxing, to a boxing move, it threw Lomachenko off. Lomachenko is a master at seeing the punches coming from the traditional boxing angles. With Salido is an orthodox fighter. When Salido would throw his right hand, Lomachenko would just step off to the side and counter him with a left. So what Salido started doing early in the fight, he started, when he would throw his right hand, he would cross over and bring his right foot in front to close the distance. That was giving Lomachenko hell in that fight because it's not something you traditionally see in a boxing ring. And so that's what I noticed is the unconventional techniques, things that are just a little bit off, the awkwardness. You know what I mean? He couldn't get a read on that because that's not something he was used to seeing and drilling.
With a guy like that, you want to kill space. The first thing, you don't want him to operate in with a whole lot of space. You want to throw punches. You want to, you know, be busy, but you also, within that, you want to cut that space off just because his feet get him anywhere he wants to go. He has very good upper body movement. He bends very well at the waist and at knees. But ultimately, Lomachenko's feet gets him to do anything he wants to do. That's the worst thing you have to deal with when you fight.
Take away the feet. Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Easier
said than done.
Yes, sir.
That guy could survive in any era, any decade of the last six decades. Lomachenko would be right up to the top in all of them.
Yeah,
he's that good. In my mind, he's that good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. I mean, he's a great fighter, man. He's a great fighter. I mean, he'll be around for a long time. You know, for a long time.
Yeah, he's probably better. Do you think he's better at 126 or better at 130?
I think he's more powerful at 130.
130, okay.
I thought he was good at 126. I think 130 is a really good weight for him. I think he's more powerful. He sits down on his punches more. I really, from a skill set, I agree with you that from a skill set, he could compete in any era. Like Edner said, though, what I like to see now, see if he can battle through that adversity. What happens when somebody takes away your feet and you're forced to fight? Can you dig in? Do you have those intangibles? Now, he showed me a lot in that Salido fight. In that Salido fight, I literally watched 12 rounds, and you've seen him actually get better from the first to the 12th round. He became a better fighter. And he showed some intangibles. But could he deal with a young enough, fresh enough guy in his face, not giving him that space for 12 rounds?
Or
I don't know.
Sweet different guy.
You know, people used to ask, could Sweet Pea do it? Then all of a sudden he fought Julio Cesar Chavez, and the answer was, yeah, he could do it. So you never know, you know.
You know, the other thing is the guy's whole career was an amateur. Now he's getting into the late rounds. He doesn't know how to fight the late rounds. He's not experienced. That's his probably only flaw. If you could carry him past six rounds, you got a better chance because he's never been the distance. You know, he doesn't know how to fight.
Especially if you're carrying him past six rounds and you're touching on his body and draining his tank and having him.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden
yeah.
when we get tired, we all know, everyone here is trained. Once you get tired, the first thing that goes is your technique, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you got Edner Cherry beating on your chest and on your ribs for six rounds, and your technique goes, and your legs start to go. Can you battle back? Can you all of a sudden be able to win Edner Cherry's fight? I don't know if you can. There you go.
Yeah, that's you got to carry him in the late round. That's what Willie Pep said. First your legs go, then your money goes, then your friends go. Oh boy!
And there, we wish you a lot of luck in this fight. But who do you want to go with after you take this one? I know you're open to anything, but if you had a wish list, who would you like to take down next?
I don't have any. I didn't have any wish like a particular person. It's just like, man. It's like right now, it's like, man, I want an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? I want whoever, you know what I'm saying, to get back in the mix. And you know, it's like whoever, if it's Davis, if it's, I think Sosa, did he vacate his title or whatever? I think, I don't know, I was reading about that, he's vacating his title or something, but you know what I'm saying?
It's not a unification fight with him and Lomachenko now?
Yeah, I think he vacated it or something.
Yeah, he had to vacate the title to get the fight.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm saying it doesn't matter, man. It's like, you know, just like Sosa, that's like an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? More money. So I think that's why Sosa fan take this fight, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Probably like he would never get like a payday like this in his life, you know what I'm saying? Fighting this dude. So, you know.
You know, Sosa is funny because Sosa's a guy who comes forward, throws a lot of punches.
Yeah.
I don't know if defensively he can be smart and cute enough to close that distance consistently to do what he does. But when we talk about, you know, what needs to be done to Lomachenko, Sosa is the kind of guy with those attributes, and that's typically what he tries to do to his opponents. Can he do it to Lomachenko? That's what remains to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, we will see, man. You know what I'm saying? We will see.
Yeah. Well, your division, Ed, is considered one of the deepest divisions in the sport right now, bro.
Oh, yeah.
We really appreciate you taking the time, and we want everybody to know that Edgar took time away from his family tonight to be with us. His wife, Elizabeth, just had an operation a few weeks ago on her shoulder from a previous auto accident. So that shows the type of person that he is. He's committed not only to his family, he's committed to boxing, and he's committed to being a tremendous person. And I really appreciative of his friendship over the years, and I hope to continue it for many, many more. Please give your wife a big hug for us, and tell the kids we love them all. We got to get together. I'll be up on you said you'll be up Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I'll be up there Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
I'll be there either Tuesday or Thursday.
Okay, definitely. Yes, sir.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, definitely, man. Anytime.
Good luck, Edgar.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Edgar.
All right.
It's always a great time to have Edgar on because he's so knowledgeable, not only about his own abilities, but he can break down fights for us too. Everybody else, he just is. Very knowledgeable person, very very nice person, and of course Dan Birmingham, his trainer, is a super super nice guy and a very very intelligent guy when it comes to the fighting game. He has his first test coming up for the month on March 1st. We have Keith Thurman fighting Danny Garcia, so it's going to be a big fight for those guys, and hopefully we'll still bring another win back to the St. Pete gym. Dan
Frank.
Will be a happy man.
Hey, Frank,
guys,
you know what I'm surprised at?
Box again. Go ahead, Chris.
A lot of the boxing enthusiasts up here, they're going with Garcia, a lot of them. I don't see it, but they're going with Garcia. I went to Marty Feldman's viewing last Sunday.
Great.
And I got to talk to a lot of the guys, you know, from years back. And they like Garcia in this fight. I don't know. He's got a chance, but I wouldn't make him the favorite. Are there any Las Vegas odds out on yet?
Yeah, Keith is a favorite. Keith is a slight favorite.
Yeah,
right,
he's got to be the favorite. He's got to be.
Keith is the favorite.
Gotta be. The other guy's got to be the underdog.
Yeah,
I missed the fight last week. You guys all show up down in Wilmington? Were you guys all there?
I don't think they were. No, anyone I know that was there other than Joey and his father were your son, Lance.
Yeah, Lance was there. I said, you son of a gun, you went to the fight and didn't call me. I had nobody to go with. And I had something important going on. I said, you know, I gave him hell, but once the good thing came of it, he gave Joe Tiberi my number, and we talked on the phone for an hour this morning. Christ, I haven't talked to Joe in 12 years. I really had a good time. So we're going to go down to his gym when his son's training and, you know, go out and have something to eat afterwards and whatnot.
Sounds great.
Yeah, Christ. We go back to my son was 14 years old, and one of the first guys in Wilmington he sparred with was Joe. Joe was an amateur himself, 147-pounder at the time. And that's how far back we go. My son's 54 now. Christ, that's 40 years ago.
Sure.
You know? Christ. And Joe's nose looked the same then it does now. and then one day Chris got headbutted and his nose looked like Joe. Joe started laughing. Now you look like me. I said, wait a minute, we're going to take this guy to the doctor's early. Jesus Christ. He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
He had a tough career, man. Tough career.
Joe's looking to get into the Delaware Hall of Fame again, and he was very upset last week when we talked that the one of the persons that voted again, he had 11, you need 12 votes to get in. He got 11 votes, and the one person that didn't vote for him was Davey, and he was very upset about that. So
Davey?
His brother.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going to
kick Davey in the ass when I see him.
Yeah, he said he didn't think there should be two Tiberis in the same hall. So.
Oh, wow. No.
There should be three of them in there.
That's right, because you get Mario in there, too.
Mario was a killer.
Yeah.
Mario, in my opinion, was... I said to Mario, I'll take my last dollar and back in this game. I got some connections, and Carmen Graziano got him. He tried to make Mario a middleweight. He got all the way down to 164. And damn near got Mario killed in a fight. It wasn't for the fact that Mario was so tough, he would have got knocked out in his second fight. But he was a draw. But he never lost a fight. He never lost an amateur fight or a pro fight. Wow. I mean, you're not showing partiality to your family members. Maybe he abstained because of conflict of interest type thing, you know?
No, he didn't abstain. He didn't vote for him.
Wow.
That was a big between the two of them.
Wow.
Guys, we're at the end of our hour here, and I appreciate everybody coming in tonight and helping us out. And Ty, do you want to lead us out?
Hey, it's been a great show. It was great having the Cherry Bomb, Edna Cherry, on. We wish him luck against Omar Super O Douglas, and hopefully sometime in the near future we can have Super O on this show. Also, it was great talking to you, Butch, Zito, Dr. Chris. Congratulations to Ty Anthony. We wish everyone well. Bob is our co-pilot.
All right, guys. I'll see you next
Chris.
Week.
Take care.
All right. Take it easy. Bye now.
Zeke?
Another wonderful show. Want to thank Edna Cherry. Wish him best in his ongoing career and his family. Definite help. I want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to wish Ty congratulations. He's a brainiac and he's a scholar. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for coming in. Edna, of course, is always good interview. You guys being with me each and every week is a major support to us and to the program and to Fighting Words family, that's for darn sure. Hopefully we're going to try and get a correspondent from the east end of Florida next week to come on with us and talk about his experiences as long as he's healthy. Is he healthy?
Yeah, he's home. He's doing better. He's recovering. Yeah, he's starting to...
Good.
On the road
good,
to recovery,
good.
Hopefully. Hopefully a very short road to recovery. He'll be great pretty soon.
I'll give him a call later on this week, and we'll get him on next week, along with another fighter that we have possibility of getting on, but we'll get him on. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just give them a handshake, a wave, a wink, anything. Just let them know that you know they're there. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Badinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofre Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogo, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrol Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Euless, Texas Police Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio. And we wanted to send a special get well out to Patrol Sergeant Mike Thompson of the St. Pete Police Department while training a dog last week for the canine. Mike was bitten on the hand and has been in the hospital ever since. I know you're listening, and we wish you well and get well soon, buddy. Because I hate doing your lawn. But my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless, and have a great week.
Shene vorat fet akuig again my elma. Spirit of
County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.